It looks like word got out that strep has hit the Chafin house because no one's in the splash zone today. I'm excited to be with you all, although I'm trying to keep my distance and not breathe on you just in case. We're going to be in Isaiah 55 in a few minutes as we wrap up our series this morning on the implications of the incarnation. What exactly does it mean for Jesus to walk the earth as one of us? So we've been looking at this in the book of Isaiah, and we'll be in Isaiah 55 in a few moments today. I appreciate Alan beginning our thoughts today and reflecting on the end of another year. Here we are again, right? Another year in the books. We're about to flip the calendar to 2020 and have to scribble off all our checks and things, that 19 for a couple of months, right? Reflecting on another year gone by. It's interesting to me the persona we build up around years, kind of based on our experience with that year. And we start talking about the year as if it kind of has this identity of its own. 2019 can just go ahead and go, right, for some of us. Or maybe you really enjoyed 2019 and you wish that 2020 would hold off a little bit longer because it's been that good. And so as we begin thinking about life today, life pursued with God together, I wonder, how will 2020 find you? Are you full and hopeful? Are you empty and hopeless? Not too many years ago, just after celebrating another New Year's Day, I was driving down the street, and I got behind this car that I thought was in trouble. I thought they needed some help, and I'm the wrong person to help, but I feel obligated to at least stop and say, can I help, right? And so I'm sitting behind this car for a minute, but they start driving again. I think, oh, wonderful. Someone did help, and it wasn't me. But they get up to the stop sign, and we stop, and we wait a while, and they're sitting there a while. And after just a few moments pass, a few moments too long at this stop sign, these fists start flying back and forth from the driver's seat to the passenger seat, and I thought, what was I about to walk into? And they take off left, and I'm just like kind of sitting there stunned and sad for these people that I've never met, that I almost met. And I think, here we are at the start of a new year, and we're already witnessing the end of hope. Like, what is going on in these poor people's lives where this is what it has come to for them? Like, literally throwing fists across a car seat. There's more to that story, but we'll tell it another day. I say that because I know that for many of us sitting in this room, some of us sitting in this room at least, because I talked to you, you may feel as if you're running on empty, and this year just needs to end, and maybe the turn of the calendar will be that brief spark of hope that something will be better. Maybe some of you today are feeling the post-holiday letdown. You didn't get everything from Santa that you wanted, or that day just couldn't live up to the hype that we sometimes hope that it will. Or maybe for some of you, like my father-in-law, the holidays are associated with loss, and so there's kind of this cyclical grief that he feels each and every year. It's a little bit bittersweet now as time goes by for him, but a lot of sadness. Maybe you're just exhausted because it has been a long, long year. So as I think about the end of a year, I think about limits and things coming to a close, and sometimes feeling my own limits. We probably know what it feels like to just feel spent. And I think if there's anything that this world teaches us, it's this consistent thing, that it will consume everything you have to offer. It will wipe its mouth and say, more, please. And you say, that's all. I have nothing left to give. I think that Jesus, when he walked this earth, he felt that feeling of the earth crying out for more. And there are several times in Jesus' life where he just kind of has to push away from the crowd and say, enough for now. I need some time with God. We are constantly challenged to learn to budget things because we know there's just not enough. Our money, our time, our energy, we get to empty in any of those so quickly, and they all kind of impact the others, right? And I think about disagreements and discontentment and resentments and how they kind of all grow up out of this basic idea of not fair, uneven, not enough. I gave more than mine. Why aren't you giving back? One of the best meals I ever had was ruined because a good friend of mine on this ministry trip we were on together to learn how to preach better. Didn't work, but we went anyway. So we go on this trip, and we're sitting in Dallas, Texas, and what do you do in Dallas but eat barbecue? And we find the best barbecue in town. Lockhart's, I think it was called. It was a beautiful meal. And as we sit to pray, as good preachers do before meals, my friend says, "And be with those who will not eat today." And ruins my delicious barbecue meal, because how do you enjoy more than enough when so many do not have enough? So whether it's me or just my awareness of someone else, I know about emptiness. And I do think that a lot of our resentments arise out of lives lived together when people's rhythms of giving and taking get out of sync. And so if you've ever thought of a phrase like, "After all I've done for you," or maybe some of you have spoken that one, or you have these fear-driven thoughts that kind of come out of this idea of scarcity and not enough, that says, "But who will take care of me if I keep taking care of these?" These are very real experiences, right? We've been told about God's love and God's care. It's a very real thing. But experiencing it and thinking about it are two different things. Pursuing life with God together, have you experienced His presence, His fullness? Are we driven by insecurity and not living from a place of hope that is actually, at least partially, experienced? We know about emptiness, is the point. And some of us are feeling it today. But Jesus steps in. This incarnation idea we can't get away from. Jesus steps in and He has the nerve to ask us to live in this very counterintuitive way. And it's beautiful and it's tough all at the same time. He says, "This is the way," capital W. "It is more blessed to give than to receive," which is a beautiful thought. And if you've experienced the truth of it, you know it is true. And yet we also know it's easier to give once I have received. And so we're living in that tension. He says, "Live open-handed. Turn the other cheek so that someone else can use their open hand on you. Give more than is asked of you, whether it's miles or clothing or whatever it is, give." The beauty and the blessing of incarnation, of God giving His Son, the Word made flesh, the like God one who wouldn't dare grasp and clench and hold tightly to what it was to be like God. In Isaiah 55, there's a song. And it's a song for those who are full, and it's a song for those who are empty, and it goes like this. "All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come buy food, eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine, buy milk. Why spend money for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. Look, I made him a witness to the peoples, a prince, a commander of peoples. Look, you will call a nation you don't know. A nation you don't know will run to you because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Seek the Lord when he can still be found. Call him while he's yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them, to our God, because he is generous, a giver with forgiveness. My plans aren't your plans, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, So are my ways higher than your ways, and my plans than your plans. Just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky and don't return there without watering the earth, making it conceive and yield plants and providing seed to the sower and food to the eater, so is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want. It accomplishes what I intend. Oh, how I hope and believe that the word made flesh will accomplish exactly what God intended. Life is just filled with emptying and filling again. I like the water cycle imagery here of the snow and the rain coming down, but not without returning before it does what it's meant to do in replenishing the earth. We eat numerous times a day only to get hungry again. We work and we give our time in exchange for money. Even the way we breathe in and out is just this constant give and take. You have to give up the old to take in the new, the fresh, what's next. So everything about reality as we know it seems to be teaching us to live with this open-handedness of giving and receiving, because if you clench too tight and you hold on too long, you miss what's next and it's not good for you. When I grip too tightly, my hands kind of look like this, like fists. I'm not much of a fighter, but I can still hurt myself and other people, right? But if I learn to live open-handedly, it's a whole different story. It's much easier to receive what God is giving. It's much easier to let go of what he's saying. It's time to let go of that now. One of the things that can be kind of annoying, but also very good for us, is the million different renditions of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol that come on every year about this time. So I don't know if your favorite is the Muppet version, which is just, it's great. I don't know why. They're just so good. There you go. We know this story, right? And it's classic. And there's something very deep in this story about don't live like this. It will be your death, and it will haunt you after your death. But this catch-and-release lifestyle, it's not easy. I like catching better. But Isaiah helps this release to look a little more attractive. When God says, I have something for the have-nots, but you have to have not first. Or else your hands might be too full. And so it uses this word abandon. Get rid of things that are in the way of receiving. I love that this is a song. So most of Isaiah is this prophecy, and it's a story, and it's kings talking to prophets and nations. But this is the fourth song in Isaiah. You're supposed to sing it, just like Philippians 2, maybe. Verse 12, yes, you will go out with celebration. You will be brought back in peace. Even the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. Some of you tried to get with the rhythm earlier and clap. It was a nice try. It turns out that Jesus' very life was a song of invitation. And those that get the best of God's table are those who learn to show up at least somewhat empty-handed, right? At least open-handed. They were ready to receive something. They got the concept of making room, of giving without expectation, but with every reason to anticipate better. This is the Jesus that we learn about in his incarnation, in his time on earth. Jesus has this message of self-sacrifice, and it is so easily abused as a story about how God enjoys abuse, and somehow that's to be encouraged. And so, like, the worse I feel about myself, maybe the more God is happy. But Jesus seems to paint a little bit different concept, even on the cross. And it is this, that God wants to give good things to you so badly that he will not even withhold himself. He will not withhold his son. He gives with abandon, and he invites you to do that also. That's why he asks us to take up our crosses too and give. So the challenge of Isaiah for those who are empty, but maybe even more so for those of us who feel full, is what do I need to let go of to make room to receive something new from God? The book of Isaiah, at least this part, seems to be written to a people who are carried off into Babylon and they've gotten comfortable there. Their parents were there first, their parents died, and they are a new generation. They don't know what Jerusalem is like, and Isaiah is saying, come home. It's time to go back. But they're full and they're happy where they are, which sometimes is a lot like me. So whether you are feeling empty or you are feeling full, I would like to bless you with the words of Isaiah 55 one more time. And I want you to consider the question I asked a moment ago. What do I need to let go of to make room to receive something new from God? All who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come buy food and eat without money, no cost, buy wine, buy milk. Why spend for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully, eat what is good, enjoy the richest of feasts. Listen and come to me, listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. I made him a witness to the peoples, a prince and commander of peoples. Look, you will call a nation that you don't know. A nation you don't know will run to you because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, has glorified you. Seek the Lord. Abandon your sinful ways, your sinful schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them, to our God, because he is generous with forgiveness. So is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want. It accomplishes what I intend. Are you empty today? Jesus is calling. Are you full and satisfied? That's okay too. God doesn't want you to be miserable all the time. Are you full of things you don't need? That's more of a problem. How can I live more open-handedly with God? What do I need to abandon to turn loose of so that I can make room for something new that God would give to me? We used to sing these things called invitation songs. Just give Jared a minute. And so the invitation is for us today. Good, no crazy passwords to get by. It's for you who are empty. It is for you who are full. Come to Jesus and receive exactly what you need. If you would like to talk to one of us, I'm a little sick, so don't do it. Don't talk to me. Dave loves praying with people, though. We would love to receive you. There is nothing more important than pursuing a life of experiencing God and the fullness that he has to offer. Let's worship. Holy Lord.